heard a story. Billy Graham and his wife were holding, they were having meetings. They went to a prison thing. And I might have shared this story before, but it just came back to my mind. How there's just the compassion of the Lord and how we need to have compassion towards people. And they were at this prison ministry, you know, somebody was preaching and all this, and they sat down and they had, this guy came and sat next to them, which they had sponsored in prison. And he sat next to them and, you know, they had service, and Billy Graham's wife and all them turned to him and she said, "Look, I know we sponsored you, you know, that means they gave money and sponsored, so just help." They said, "After church, we'd like you to come to our home and have dinner with us." Showing compassion. Now, I wouldn't advise a single woman to do that, or, you know, there's certain areas that you don't cross. You know, it's true. I mean, you know, there's certain things. And so he went to their house, and so they were having lunch and all that. And she said, "Look, what, because he's just gotten out of prison, what is your address that we can send things to you now and help you?" And so he took out this wad of papers and started going through it. And because he said, "Let me look at my kind of wallet type thing." And so she looked at him as he's taking these papers out and she said, "Is that your wallet?" And he said, "Yeah, that's all I have." She looks at Billy and she says, "Billy Graham, give me your wallet." So he said, "Oh Lord." He gives her the wallet. She says, "Now look, here you go. This is your wallet now." And so she saw a need and she met it. A simple thing like a wallet, which we all take for granted. You know, wallets, we have probably numerous ones at home, just as like shoes. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be blessed by God. But when you see somebody that needs something and you feel compassion, give out towards them. Give out towards them. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration. Say, this is life, and I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, I would ask that you, as you are praying for Jelaine and I, as your pastors, as you pray for us daily, please pray for us that God would give us wisdom on some decisions that we have to make. We need some guidance. We kind of know the areas, but, you know, we just need some more guidance. And so I'm appealing to you to ask you to pray for us, to help us, because we're looking to the Word. We're looking to God. We say, "Lord, what do you want?" And so we're asking for your prayers, that you would intercede for us and pray and get and ask God for wisdom upon our hearts and lives in those decisions. And I appreciate you doing that. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Wow, it's been hot, huh, lately? I've had so many people give me bottles of water on the route saying thank you. Because, you know, you have some and you drink it, but it's like just a cold bottle of water. Lord, have mercy. But it gets hot. Yeah, it's India. Amen. But praise God. You know, like I told one man, and he laughed. I said, "You know, When it's during the winter, it's too cold, or complain it's too cold. Then during the summer, we complain it's too hot, it's too hot. Then when we have a lot of rain, we complain it's too wet. Then when we don't have rain, we complain it's too dry, the ground's cracking." I said, "We're never satisfied." And he laughed and laughed. He said, "You're right." I said, "We just need to be satisfied with what we have, and thank you, Lord." Okay. Because it's going to be over in a little bit. It's going to be over in a little bit. The book of James, the Epistle of James, is a really Christian life book which helps us to live our Christian lives. And, you know, that's the main purpose. God is wanting us to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he wants us to serve him to get the job done upon the earth. You know, God will not send angels to preach the gospel. He won't do it. It won't be done. He uses the human race to preach the gospel to people. Now, he would use angels to bring messages maybe to his children, to whatever, however he wants to do it, you know, that kind of stuff, protection over us, whatever, however he wants to use them. But he has chosen the human race. He's chosen you and I to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, that's the whole body of Christ he's using, to preach the gospel and to get the gospel out, and to preach the gospel that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the not just one way, but the only way of salvation, that he is the only door. And we got to preach that it's through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary, that we can be set free from certain things, of all things that entangle us, that he can bring liberty and freedom to our hearts and lives as we place our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, which leashes out the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do upon our hearts and lives. You might say, well, why do sometimes we see maybe Christians that are God, but it seems like they're crying out to God and God is not moving? And one aspect, one thing maybe, and there may be a few little things more, but one aspect might be because their faith is not in the right place. You see, God only recognizes faith that is placed in the one that paid the price so we can have faith. And that's who Jesus Christ. That we're to have faith in what he did at Calvary's cross. And when we do that and we look to that and we say, there's nothing else. I can't look to myself. I can't look to a church. I can't look to a pastor, anything else. But all I can look to is faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. When we look to that, you might say, well, how do you do it? You just keep saying, Lord, my faith is in you and you alone. It says that the Holy Spirit comes out and starts to move within our hearts and within our lives. Because you see, when it's in anything else, he can't move like he wants to move. It stops him from moving. But when our faith is in Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, the third person of the Trinity is leashed out upon our personal lives and the things that we're going through, and he solves these things, working a lot of times in us because we're the problem. Or we have the problem that God needs to work on. And God moves in those scenarios. So you see, we have to make sure that our faith is in the right place and the right person, Jesus Christ, and what he did at Calvary's cross, in nothing that we can do. Sometimes we place our faith in faith. You might say, oh, Lord. In my great faith, or your great faith, or whoever's great faith. Can't be. It can only be in Christ, in his faith, and what he's done. Then the Holy Spirit moves at will. Now look at this. In James chapter 4. Very interesting. Look at starting with verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now you see, that's a problem right there. I know, you might say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Because I know. I'm the problem sometimes. Sometimes we're the biggest problem in all the world, as far as in our own scenario. God says, first of all, we have to submit. Now, to submit means, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And not just saying the words, but actually acting upon the word. We have to submit. And let me tell you, it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. But I tell you what, we have to submit to the what God's will is and not our will is. Because sometimes we think we know what is best. And that it may be true sometimes. You know, as far as God has given us wisdom with the word of God, and we may know. But sometimes we may not know what is best. And we have to be willing to submit everything to God. Not just some things, but everything. And say, Lord, it is yours. Father, I submit myself to you. You see this scenario. You see what's going on. I need you to move. I need you to change things. I need you to go forth before me. I need you to make the crooked places straight. Somehow, do something. But you see, a lot of times, and it's amazing, a lot of times God is waiting upon us. Then he first says, submit yourselves, therefore, and he didn't say submit to one another, which we do, yes, but it says to submit where? To God. I am to submit my will to God. Whatever it is. I am to submit myself to him. Because you see, he is the leader and guide over this church. He has chosen Jelaine and I to lead this church. He could have chosen anyone. My God, he could have chosen a rooster or a donkey if he wanted to. He could choose anybody. But he's chosen to do that. And I thank him for that. Because you see, he loves humanity. I know I can't conceive, and I don't think any human being can really conceive, the love that God has for his for people. Even though we know the scripture that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the only one he had, the most precious thing he had in heaven was his Son. And he gave it because he was the perfect sacrifice. There was no sin nature in him. There was no evil in him at all. He was the one that could bring the Father and the humanity back together. The only one. The only one. And so the Son had to submit his will to the Father. It's good now. Listen. We have to submit our will to him. You know, there are some people in churches and other places that should be here, and I know it. I know it. But they're not submitting their will to God. They want what they want. I know it. But I'm not going to bang on their door and tell them. If God can't do it, I can't do it. But he will get his will done here. It will happen. God knows. So you see, you have to know this is the place where God wants you. And let me tell you, when you know that, there's no demon in hell that can stop you from being here and doing what God wants you to do. None. Because when he places it in you, it's like, let's get the work done. Let's get it. So we are to submit ourselves unto God. Submit everything. Submit our money. And that's not easy sometimes. So. And submit it to him. We worry about him saying, I want you to give it all, huh? But submit your money to him. Hey, look, I'm not one to preaches doom and doom, and I'm not one that rapes the church, because there's many do of their money. Just do what God says from His word. God says to tithe, tithe. Give your money to Him. Submit it to Him. Say, Lord, I submit. And help me, Lord, to do it. To give what needs to be given. Submit your family to Him. Submit it to Him. I know there are many of you that have lost sons and daughters, husbands, that are just going away from God. It breaks my heart. Because I know it breaks the heart of God. And I know many a times you prayed for them. Gotten up in the middle of the night. Saying, Lord, do something. Because you know they were up to no good. You knew it because the Spirit of the Lord was upon you. But you just prayed for them. And you prayed. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because you see, when you submit yourself to Him, and He asks you to pray for your sons and your daughters and your grandparents and your mother and your father, you're praying the way God wants you to pray for them. And the Spirit of God comes in and starts to move upon their souls. Because you see, God is in the business of soul winning, bringing these people back. And we have to be persistent. We have to be persistent to stay, okay, just because I didn't see it yesterday, and just because I didn't see it 2 days ago, and just because I didn't see it a week ago and a year ago, doesn't mean we give up today. Amen. We're living in a society where it says, we go, we order something, we get it 2 minutes later. And let me tell you, it may not be more than 2 minutes. And that's okay to have that. But with God, we cannot put God on the same level, because He has to work within the sons and the daughters' lives, drawing them, letting them get to a place where they see nothing but up, and they have to look up because they're so down on their luck. But you see, we keep praying, we keep believing, and we ask God to move, because we know we serve the God of gods. He is the great God Jehovah. How great is He? And He's coming back for His people. And we want to see our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren and our spouses and our grandparents and all these uncles and aunts and cousins coming with us when the trumpet blows. We want to see when that trumpet blows that we're all going forth to meet God or Jesus in the air and to be forever with Him till eternity. Praise God. And as we come back with Him one day to rule and reign and do all the things that He's commissioned us to do. People, we need to be persistent. That is a word that is kind of left out. Persist. Don't stop. That doesn't mean that we do it on our own, but just be there, persistent. It's like, you know, knock on the door. The man went to that, somebody came visit him at night, and he had no bread to feed him. So he went to his neighbor, and he started knocking on his door, and he said, and I'm sure the guy inside was, God, I said, praise the name of this man. He's going to learn how to cook his own bread. And so he probably ended up, who is it? And he said, I'm the neighbor. He gave his name, whatever. He said, do you have some bread I can buy from you or get from you? And he said, look, come back in the morning. I don't feel like getting up. And the guy just kept knocking on the door. No, I need it tonight. I need it tonight. I need it tonight. I need it tonight. Come on. I need it. I need it. The guy got so frustrated, so outdone, that he got up and gave him the bread. People, be persistent. Knock on the portals of heaven. Knock on the gates of heaven continuously, day after day after day after day after day after day after day. After day. And when it seems like there's nothing has changed, you keep on knocking day after day after day, praying and seeking God, saying, Lord, you're going to move. Lord, save that girl. Lord, save that boy. Lord, change my finances. Lord, save my husband. Lord, save my wife. Lord, do a mighty work in their hearts and lives. Lord, draw my grandchildren unto you. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Don't give up. People need healing. Keep knocking. Like I said, what if they die? They die. They go to heaven. We'll miss them. And we want to keep them. But if God doesn't heal them, hey, look, at least we kept knocking. We kept knocking. We serve a God that is huge, people. Submit yourselves unto God. Submit yourselves unto God's will. Submit yourselves unto God's will. Let him do what he needs to do. Let him fulfill his will upon the earth in your heart and in your life. When you lay down on that bed and you're about to give up the spirit of life, you don't want to have any regrets towards God, saying, I wish I would have preached more. I wish I would have spoke more about you, Lord. No regrets. As I went to work Friday, walked in, and we got on break and stuff, and they were talking about all that stuff that happened at the movie theater. And one guy said, you know what? I was almost there last night. He said, I was thinking about getting a whole bunch of people together and just go, you watch a movie. Now, I don't think it was that movie, Train Wreck. But whatever movie it was, but it would have been in the building. But he said, I decided not to go. And I said, you know, I said, we need to make sure they're all right there. 12 of them, whatever. There's 13 routes on the city side. And so I said, you know, we need to make sure that everything is always right between us and God. There was silence. I mean, they can talk, though. I mean, look. About all kinds of things. You know that. Evil stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, whatever. But there was a hush of silence. I said, we just need to make sure things are right. Because I said, we don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. God knows, but we don't know. I said, we got to make sure that our hearts are right with him. After a minute or so of silence, that's a long time, huh? One of them said, well, you want to pray with us or something? I said, yeah, I'll pray with y'all if you want. And then they changed the subject. That was it. There was no... Got to stand for what's right, people. You got to put your foot in when it's time to put your foot in. You got to stand for what's right. Got to stand for what's right. Submit yourselves unto God. Oh, man, well, I'm far behind here. It's only 11 o'clock. Thank you. No. Let me just read this scripture. In verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted in mourning, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And I knew. Verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And we know that we can't draw near to him unless he draws us. And we submit to it. We know that. Because man is, in general, man is evil. That's the truth. And, you know, we try to say, well, man is evolving into good. No, he's not. Now, there's a lot of good things that come out of man because of God. That's all. Helping people and doing all that. But as God draws us, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. It's like, look, God is here. Jesus came, well, on the right hand of the Father, you see. Right hand. He came and he died on the cross. And he came back and he was the mediator between God and man. And he brought man, just as man, and God back together. Now, because of evil and sin, man is individually separated from God. Okay? But as the Spirit of God draws man, man and God come closer and closer together. And that's what happened when we got saved. We accepted God as our Savior and Lord. And we said, Lord, there's no other way to get to heaven except by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did at Calvary's cross. But sometimes, as we are saved and time goes on, it seems like we kind of move a little away from God. Our hearts, maybe some things happen and we turn from God. We may not understand some things. Sometimes maybe people we trusted in ministry of some kind, it could be pastors, could be pastors' wives, you know, or pastors now, it could be women. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to say, but anyway, in ministry, sometimes we get hurt and we draw away. And sometimes that might be the hardest, because the devil will say, you can't trust ministry anymore. You can't trust those people. And probably, honestly, you can't trust them because of things that happen. But just because they represent God doesn't mean they are God. And so our faith should never be in them, in these people, ministry. Our faith always needs to be in God. Because you see, we will all let each other down in some way or another. Our expectations may be too high. So we have to keep our faith in God. And so as we pulled away, God was still drawing us to him. Because of the love in his heart towards us. That's why, you know, at times, you know, you kind of just, wherever you might be driving in your car, and all of a sudden you'd feel the Spirit of God. And you just start crying, huh? Just crying. I know I've been there many a time, just crying. Saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And honestly, most of the time, never got an answer. Still don't understand some things. Quit ministry type stuff. But you see, it was the Spirit of the Lord just drawing me and drawing us closer to him, drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you. Take time every day, if you could, to open up the Word of God and just read a little bit. Take some time. I'd say, Pastor, I don't understand some things, and I understand that. No one understands the whole Word of God. We're always having to learn it because it's so exhaustive, the Spirit of the Lord, because it's the Spirit of God that ruled it. So take time to just read some. And before you read, take time to pray and say, Lord, help me to understand your word. You might say, Pastor, why did you do that? Because it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it takes the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word that he wrote. And take the time to pray some, 5-10 minutes a day. You might be able to go 30 minutes, but just to pray and ask God to pray for your family. First of all, just to exalt him and lift him up, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, I praise you and honor you and thank you. You know, the Our Father prayer starts with Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means giving praise and glory and honor unto him. And a lot of times when you do that and you just worship him, you forget about all the other stuff. There's no use because he's taking care of those things. But take time to crack open the Word of God and get it in you. And take time to pray and ask God to move upon certain situations. I know sometimes we think, Lord, I don't know if you can use me, or I'm not worthy. But let me tell you, you're worthy of his son. Jesus loves you. The Father, God the Father, loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. Many a times, as we were growing up, maybe we didn't get a hug or a love from our father and our mother like we should have. And let me tell you, I don't like all that name blame when you go to them and you tell them no. You forgive them because a lot of times years ago they didn't know how to do that. That's the truth. You were lucky you got food on the table and they spanked you and whatever else they did. Okay. But look. Okay. But let me tell you, the Father loves you and cares about your life. Cares about you. He loves you with all of his heart. And I know the scripture, and I said it before, for God so loved the world that he gave. You're the apple of his eye, every one of us. You know, it's an amazing thing. God never looks at an outward appearance of a person to see if he's going to be a king back then, as David, or a preacher, or a messenger, or whatever. What does God look at? And I know I didn't get to that, but God looks at the heart of a man and says, what can I work with? And let me tell you, God is looking in your heart. And saying, what can I use? And let me tell you, I know each and every one of us here that are here today, we love God. And we want his will to be done. And he's looking into your heart to accomplish his will upon the earth. And why don't you stand, please? And thank you. I know I went over a little bit, but I appreciate your understanding. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to do so, would you please just raise your hand so we can pray with you? Just check and make sure. Father, I just thank you for your people. Lord God, I thank you for their humbleness of heart towards you. And Lord God, I pray that your spirit and your anointing would rest upon them, Lord. Father, help them to accomplish your will upon the earth. Father, help them to do what you call them to do, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'd protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. And Father, put a desire on the inside of them for your word and to pray to seek your face, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for your people, and I thank you that they are a great and mighty army for you, Lord God, taking the land for the king. Father, I give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, look this way if you could. I know Jelaine's in children's church, but we appreciate you, we thank God for you, and we love you. And I pray that God's Holy Spirit will rest upon your life, and we'll see you either Wednesday for prayer or next Sunday. God bless you, and you are dismissed.